Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello and welcome to mini episode 341 of Real Life Ghost Stories, and I have four spooky stories for you today, and the last story comes from February the 12th, 2024, and story number one comes from Alyssa. Now I have to decide on a story. A story. I have so many of them, which began as childhood inklings and became stronger in my 20s when I moved into a couple of haunted apartments, one of which was the scene of a murder. I'll wait to write that one at a future time, but as an amuse-bouche, I'll share a brief summary. In one apartment, I'd heard a pleading whisper, "Oh please, oh please, oh please," in my ear in the middle of the night, only to discover, when I started asking around the building, that someone had been shot and killed in my apartment, in my bedroom. In the same place where I slept. In the same place where I heard the whisper. But I digress. I've always put myself in the SBNR category. Spiritual but not religious. But that really amped up when I went through a very difficult breakup in the summer of 2023. It was a spiritual awakening as I put everything I had into surrendering to the universe. Learning how to love myself and be with myself, learning to stop distracting myself with negative habits, and to start being present, meditating, listening. And you won't believe what happened. Too much to mention everything, but in my 200 plus journal pages written that summer, dozens were devoted to signs, visits, and messages, from dimes left everywhere to the smell of smoke in my room when I thought of my departed granddad Bill, to songs on the radio that spoke to me like messages from my spirit guides and or lost loved ones. I've created a Spotify playlist of those. All of this to say that I was deeply connected to my higher self and spirit guides, and was present and open to receiving signs and messages of every kind. For this story, I'll stick to the feather. It all began within 24 hours of my breakup. I had decided I was going to make this experience mean something for me, that I would not let it destroy me or pull me backwards. With that in mind, I awoke with the birds that first morning and took my laptop outside and began to write. Every morning I wrote, and as I did, birds started appearing. Robins, to be exact. I was no stranger to robins. They had first come to me 5 years earlier when I was trying to decide whether to leave a bad marriage. It was the end of summer at that time, and robins were everywhere, it seemed, dive bombing my car, in the driveway, and appearing by the dozen in my front garden daily. My then husband even noticed, wondering what was going on. I finally realized they had a message for me, and I googled their meaning. They were all about new beginnings, of course. We see them mostly in the spring, but I also learned that while they're gentle birds, if you mess with their babies, the mamas will come for you. That resonated, because it had been my mama bear protectiveness that made me consider leaving that marriage. Happily, I listened to the birds and left. The robins followed me to the apartment that I and my daughter moved into. Maybe not the exact same robins, but a crew of robins nonetheless. Over that month of September, they hung out on my patio and appeared to me on walks. Then, one day, as we were settling nicely into our new lives, I realised I hadn't seen them for a bit. I looked for robins everywhere, and saw almost none. But now, 5 years and one relationship later, they were back, in droves. While I sat in a chair on my lawn, they visited the tree next to me, some even sitting on the back of my chair. They would sometimes chirp as though for my attention. While out and about, I'd see robin art, robin eggs and nests, and the name robin in graffiti on a bench I'd passed regularly for years and never noticed, and I swear it wasn't there before. It was like the robins were calling me back to myself. I felt so connected with these creatures, and finally, blissfully with myself, that I had a robin tattooed on my stomach. I've heard that tattoos are a portal connecting you with the energy of the thing that you're tattooing on yourself. I sure hope that's true, because I am absolutely in love with mine. But they weren't the only birds who were visiting. There were also the cardinals. I had always known that cardinals appear as messages from our departed loved ones. My newly honed intuitive powers led me to realise that my grandparents were coming through as a male and female cardinal in my backyard. It felt so lovely and reassuring, and no one can convince me that these weren't heavenly visits. At the same time, I was finding feathers in odd places, in my car, on the sidewalk, in the mall, inside the house, in the shoe I'd just taken off to run to the kitchen, I might add. One day I was walking to a local park with my dog, Ollie. A bright red flash on a lawn to my left caught my eye. At first, I thought it was a candy wrapper. It was that bright. But as I got closer, I noticed that it was a feather. A real bona fide red feather. The only bird I could imagine it belonged to was a male cardinal. I picked it up and brought it home with me, excited to examine it. I put it in my pocket at one point and had temporarily forgotten about it, but then noticed it as I was changing into my pajamas. I took it out and placed it on the bathroom counter. I went to bed and awoke a few hours later at around 3 a.m. I awoke with what felt like a human hand on my forehead applying gentle pressure. Now, you're probably thinking, Jesus, I'd have shit myself if that happened to me. I would have said that too. I can't explain why I was not only not scared, but peaceful. It was the most loving touch, and I knew instantly exactly whose hand it was. It was my granddad's. He had died when I was 15, over 35 years ago, and I knew it was him. It was the kind of thing a concerned and caring parent would do. At once reassuring and kind. I did not open my eyes for a moment, just reveling in the feeling. When I did open them a moment later, there was no one there, and the pressure on my forehead was gone. So what did I do? I did what every human has done since 2007 and reached instinctively for my phone. And what I found stopped my heart for a moment. The feather. On top of my phone, not in the bathroom where I'd left it, not on the floor in the closet which separated my bedroom from my bathroom, but on my nightstand on top of my phone. I felt immediate excitement and gratitude, and somehow knew that Grandpa was one of my spirit guides. He was there to reassure me and to guide me. I realized suddenly that he had been there all along. It had simply taken me slowing down, meditating, and just being for me to begin to see and feel his presence. I've had visits from both my granddads, one who died many, many years before I was born. How do I know? I just do. I feel it. And as you've said so many times in the podcast, it's such a lovely thing to feel. Why would we question it? Alyssa, you are so right. Like, it is such an important thing, I think, because we get so caught up, particularly in our current culture, which is very polarized. You either have to believe something 100% or you have to disprove it 100%. And there doesn't seem to be a lot of room for middle ground. Or in some instances, people can't seem to find kind of the good grace to allow people to have a middle ground, if that makes sense. But I do think in instances like this, where it makes you feel better and it is not something that is hurting you or anybody else, it's a really nice thing to be able to accept and to be able to say, hey, these people who I have loved and lost are looking out for me, and they're trying to find ways to show me that they're looking out for me. And I do think that's really important and really beautiful, particularly in difficult times of your life. Also, to add to your point about robins, they are really ferocious. They are ferocious little creatures. They are territorial to the max and will scrap with other robins and sometimes bigger birds to maintain that territory. I'm a big fan of robins, outside of the whole, you know, dead relatives coming back to keep an eye on us. In general, I'm a big fan of robins. I like a small bird with an attitude problem, you know. I will also say that I was struck with an absolute horror when I read your assertion that you've heard that tattoos are a portal connecting you with the energy of the thing that you're tattooing on yourself. I personally am going to counter that with, I sure hope that's not true, because I've got some very stupid shit tattooed on me over a long period of time of my life. I have some very ridiculous tattoos, of which I'm not sure if I want to be connected to their energy. You went for robins, which are widely loved, ferocious little creatures who will protect their babies and their territory with everything they have. One of my big animal tattoos is a hermit crab. Famously, scuttly, and spend a huge amount of their time hiding in stupidly big shells. So I hope for my sake that is not true. As a complete and utter aside, I found out this week that American robins and European robins look completely different. They've both still got a red breast, right? That bit we can say is true, but I honestly had never known that they looked so different. Alyssa, I loved these stories. I'm really glad for you that you have had these signs and messages from the people in your life that you have loved and lost. And I think it's beautiful that you're, you know, you got that feeling in bed and you sit up and there's a feather on top of your phone. Like, that's really lovely. And I do think there's a great power in sort of stopping and listening to the universe a little bit and looking out for these things and kind of seeing, oh, actually, I am being looked after. And story number two comes from Janet. I saw a recent post where you discussed your change of perspective with regards to some paranormal events with the sighting of the girl at the old Victorian asylum. I have had a similar experience, though more subtle and not frightening. To begin with, my eldest sister, now deceased, was gifted in a way. She was very strong and like a mother to me. I'm in California, and at the time she was on the East Coast in Maryland. She would call frequently, but in particular if anything out of the ordinary had happened. My son broke his arm and other such things. After my father passed away, she told me of a couple of times she felt him near, including when he was riding in her truck with her. Her feeling was just of calm and reassurance. I accepted these as part of her sensitivity. My experience occurred after my husband passed away after a long struggle with diabetes and heart disease. I nursed him at home through two leg amputations. He died unexpectedly at home one morning. Several days later, I was in bed, trying but not yet asleep, when I felt a movement on the bed and was wide awake. I wasn't sure what I had felt, so I just laid there. The mattress next to me sunk a bit as if someone was laying down. I wasn't sure what was happening, but strangely I was not scared. I had a feeling like a warm caress across my side. I always sleep on my side, and it was as if an arm was laid across me. I was still not afraid. The feeling then moved away and was gone. I laid there a bit before sitting up and turning on the bedside lamp to confirm there was no one there. I'm convinced it was my husband saying a final goodbye. I chuckle now because he had no beliefs in religion or an afterlife. Finally, he did not have the last word. Is there anything more satisfying in life than having the last word? I'm not sure that there is, to be really frank. I am very sorry for your loss, Janet, but I am so glad for your sake that he found a way to come back and tell you that he was still there and caress your side. And it's lovely to think that you were able to lie there and not be afraid and sort of bask in that feeling and be able to go, oh my God, this is what's happening and I'm okay with it and this is comfortable and warm and I'm really happy that this is happening. And I really hope for you that at that time, you know, you said it was kind of several days later, which is, I mean, still in the throes of acute grief. I hope that at that time it gave you some sense of comfort because, you know, going through that, it's hard to find comfort in anything, in any way, shape or form. So I hope that him being able to come back to you, at least for that brief period, made you feel like, okay, he's there and he's looking after me and he's in a good place, whatever that means, and he's bringing me warmth and comfort. Oh, these stories are making me all emotional today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And story number three comes from PG. I've been watching your TikTok and listening to your podcasts, and it made me wonder if you have ever had anyone experience what I could best describe as a ghost place. When I was younger, at one point, we had moved to an area close to my aunt's house. So after school or on weekends when my dad was working, I would go over to her house. I always thought her house was beautiful. It had columns on the front porch and there were always various vagrant cats hanging around. It was a one-story house, which is important. Sometimes when I would arrive at her house, there would be a staircase and a piano, but then other times it would be gone. Of course, when I would ask where the stairs and piano went, they would all say it was in my imagination. However, when they were there, it seemed so natural, I assumed everyone just saw them. I could play on the piano, and by play, I mean run my fingers down the keys. One time, even slamming my finger in the key flap thing, I would sit at the bottom of the stairs because something told me I just couldn't go up there. Years pass. We move away, and then it was 2022, I think. I randomly called up my aunt and it had turned out she had had a stroke and was still recovering. I made plans to go and see her. By now the stairs were a deep memory of the past, one that I had convinced myself was my imagination as well. I arrive at her house, and as I walk in the door, the piano and the stairs are there. Immediately my head begins to swim. During the visit I keep looking at the stairs as if they're going to disappear. I work up the courage and I ask about the stairs and the piano. And she says, oh yeah, we converted the attic into a bedroom for one of their grandchildren a few years back. I asked her if she remembered me talking about them when I was younger. And she said, I do actually, now that you mention it. She brushed it off as being a weird coincidence and we moved on. This sort of thing has happened other times. Like one time I walked in, I found this old ceramic Christmas tree, the kind that has the lights, in a room of ceramics. My grandmother asked me where I'd gotten it, and I told her that I found it in the room with all the little statues, a room that hadn't existed for years. My grandmother had a room where she made ceramic things, but has since gotten rid of all of her stuff. She was baffled. Things like this don't seem to happen very much anymore unless I just don't notice. Each time I remember it was someone else that points out that it's not there yet or it no longer exists. They feel like actual places. I'm not sure what this is, but I was wondering if you had heard of any similar experiences. Oh, this is really interesting, and I wonder if this is a case of some sort of propensity to time slip rather than it being anything ghostly, if that makes sense. We've talked before in the podcast about people who see big manor houses, or they see houses and then they go back the next day and the house isn't there and hasn't been there for a very long time. But it feels like you've been able to jump forward in time, like time slip into the future, or at least have really, really vivid, visceral, physical visions of the future in that particular house. And I have wondered before whether it's people who are more inclined to experience time slips, like certain people are more susceptible to it, or places, like certain places, you are more likely to experience a time slip. Like famously on Bold Street in Liverpool, it seems that there have been a number of time slips over the years. And the reason I think it's more likely to be a time slip than even a vision into the future or something ghostly is that you seem to be able to physically interact with these objects, like physically interacting with the piano, sitting at the bottom of the stairs but not being able to go up it, and then producing this ceramic Christmas tree from a ceramics room that hasn't existed for a really long time. I would be inclined to look up whether or not there have been cases of people who have experienced kind of regular time slips both forward and backwards in particular places, or people who seem to have it happen to them relatively regularly, because that is pretty wild. Answer number 4 comes from Jordan. The paranormal has been of interest to me and a topic of discussion in my family for as long as I can remember. What really started it all was when my aunt and uncle moved into a new house when I was around 7 years old, which turned out to be very haunted. My cousin is sensitive, and though we both have experienced several instances in the home, she has seen and felt the most. For me, I wouldn't say that I'm highly sensitive, but I do get incredibly strong feelings of unease in the house, and refuse to sleep there, even now that I'm well into my 30s. Through my experiences at that house, I've always been in tune to how spaces and places make me feel, and I try to always listen to my gut when I'm in a place that makes me uncomfortable. As I've gotten older, that has sometimes become more difficult in circumstances like the one that I'm about to share. I was living and working in the city of Chicago and had to travel to New England for a work trip. I was so excited because I grew up back east and was looking forward to being in the area for several weeks. As the trip was about 16 days long, I arrived at the hotel to unpack and settle in before meeting my co-workers for dinner. The hotel staff showed me to a room in the unrenovated portion of this hotel, which was perfectly fine by me. But the room was at the far end, on the corner, facing a bleak-looking block of wilderness. Again, I grew up just a town away from here, so the location and the landscape did not bother me. But there was something about this particular room and this view that gave me an overwhelming sense of unease. I tried my best to shake it off, as I wasn't quite sure what I could do about it at that moment. I didn't want to ask for another room for seemingly no reason and come off rude or high maintenance. Again, we were here for about 2.5 weeks, and I didn't want to start off as a bother to the hotel staff. So I pushed the feelings aside, unpacked, met the team for dinner, and came back to get ready for the next day. We had a 5 a.m. call time, so I set my alarm for 4:30 a.m. and tried my best to turn my mind off. Again, I just could not relax in this room. The energy felt off, dark and heavy, and I had an awful sense of dread in the space. I knew my co-workers were on the other side of the hotel, and that I was theoretically in a safe space. So I tried my best to rationalize the situation as just being overdramatic and get some sleep. I will preface the next part of the story by telling you that I've never experienced night terrors, sleep paralysis, or any sleep-related hallucinations before in my life. I'm also not a lucid dreamer, and have not before or since this instance ever experienced anything else like it. I remember being in what I understood as a dream state, in the exact hotel room, on my stomach with my head facing the nightstand on the right side of the bed, staring at the alarm clock which read 3:23 a.m. There was a presence that I felt in the moment to be demonic, some type of entirely evil entity holding me down and pressing my head into the bed with amazing force trying to smother me. I couldn't see its face, but I could feel its energy pulsing through me, and it was absolute pure terror. When I was young and afraid at my aunt's house, I had a family friend tell me that if I ever saw anything that scared me, I should say, "In the name of Jesus Christ, go away." I was able to force this sentence out in the dream, and instantly my eyes flew open. I was laying in the exact same position as I had been in the dream, on my stomach with my head turned to the right and staring right at that alarm clock, which to my horror read 3:23 a.m. I laid there for a bit, absolutely terrified, trying to figure out what had just happened. It felt like a dream, but to this day I have never experienced a dream of a moment I've actually woken up in, or a dream with any type of experience even close to being similar to this. I got up as there was no chance of going back to sleep, packed my things and went to the hotel lobby to request a new room, no longer afraid of being a bother. When the man at the front desk asked why, I told him that I had just experienced the most horrific nightmare of my life. He said that normally they only honoured a room change for some type of maintenance issue, but since I had 15 more nights with them, they would oblige. I knew he thought that I was crazy, but I absolutely did not care. I ended up on the other side of the hotel and had a very pleasant stay in a smaller, lovely room. To this day, I have no idea what happened, but I do wholeheartedly believe that it was a paranormal experience of some kind and that I was in danger in that room. Since that night, I have been unafraid to remove myself from any space or place where I sense any dark energy. Listen, I'm a firm believer in going with your gut instinct and listening to your gut. And if this podcast has taught me anything, it's that your gut instinct on a place is often right for whatever reason. And even if whatever happened to you, say if it was sleep paralysis, right? And it was completely rational, psychological, physiological, whatever you want to call it. The fact that you've never had sleep paralysis before or since, or any kind of nightmares to that extreme or lucid dreaming, is very interesting, particularly when you went into a space and you immediately felt like, oh, I don't like this space. This space makes me feel negative. It makes me feel weird. It makes me feel like I shouldn't be here and I don't quite know what to do with that. To then experience sleep paralysis for the first time ever in your life, like, is it possible that that room just had a really negative energy and it caused you an episode of sleep paralysis? Either whatever the answer is, either way, it's bloody terrifying. And I do think that some places have a really particularly dark energy for whatever reason, whether that's paranormal or whether that place just remembers shit things that happened, I don't know. But some places do just have a really negative energy, and I think that that negative energy can impact people. And, you know, many moons ago, those negative feelings, those anxious, weird feelings were designed to keep us alive when we were, you know, cave people out running around and hunting and all that kind of jazz. So we should listen to them. Although in saying that, as somebody who suffers from anxiety, not all the time, because sometimes we misfire as humans and we create worry and fear where there really shouldn't be any. So, you know, maybe listen to it sometimes, but not all the time. That's great psychological advice from me. You're welcome. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Thank you to Alyssa, Janet, PG and Jordan for sending in your stories. Remember, the last story came from February the 12th, 2024. And if you would like to send in your story, you can do so by emailing it to reallifeghoststoriespodcast@gmail.com. You can also check out the website reallifeghoststoriespodcast.com. And if you are desperate for some extra content, you can subscribe to the Patreon. That is patreon.com/reallifeghoststories, where for $5 a month or $2 a month, you get access to heaps of extra content, as well as every single main and mini episode completely ad-free. And on that note, I shall see you next time.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.